Kan je het je voorstellen? Can you imagine? You are the youngest in a very large family. And your brothers, they simply do not like you. They hate you. One day they put you in a pit. And then as the days are turning, the brothers are seeing some men coming by that are slave traders. And they say, let's sell this little boy to the slave traders. The slave trader brought him to Egypt. In Egypt, he came into the house of Potiphar. We know the story. When he was in the house of Potiphar, Potiphar's wife tried to get him into sexual activity. He said, no, how can I do this great evil against my God? Amen. He went into prison. He was not guilty. When he was in prison, there were dreams. The butler and the baker came to him. He explained the dreams. And what did he tell them? Remember me when you are before Pharaoh. Did he do that? The answer was no. Later on, Pharaoh himself had dreams. And he said, who can explain the dreams? Then somebody remembered, there is a young man. His name is Joseph. And he was freed. Just try to place yourself in this young man's mind. In this young man's heart. And then look at Genesis chapter 50, verse 19. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? And of course, we know that in verse 15, it says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. They knew they acted wrong. They even used a lie. Your father told you need to forgive us. The record doesn't say that. But can you just imagine the evil that befell this young man? The wrong that befell this young man? And then he says, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? Let's turn the story to ourselves. The evils of life. Who has not met the evils of life? I think when we listen to one another's stories, maybe when you were younger, you've experienced some things that you say, I never want to see those days again. Maybe it was in your later years that you said, wow, things happened to me. Totally beyond my control, but I was a victim. It happens to all of us, right? Yes. It comes to all of our doors. We all deal with the evil of life. We all deal with the shortcomings of other people. We all deal with those things that cause us pain. And to bring it even a little bit closer. What about the church? Have you ever been disappointed in somebody in the church? Has something ever happened that you say that caused bruises on my heart? Has ever something happened to you that you say, I don't want to see that day again? I think we all do, right? We all do. And the question is, how do we deal with it? How do we deal with it? Is there a way to deal with it? And yes, this morning we can say there is a way to deal with it. I always like to say that sometimes you have to do something difficult. You might have to fix your computer. You might have a broken water line. Maybe your washing machine is broken. Maybe something has happened to whatever. I would like to say that all things can be fixed if you have the right tools, humanly speaking. All things can be fixed when you have the right tools. So when you have a computer problem, you call your friend who has knowledge about computers and you say, can you come and help me? With the right tools, humanly speaking, everything can be fixed. Spiritually, the Bible gives us words that help us to understand that we can even deal with the evils of life. God gave us the instrument how to deal with it. Let's explore some of these things. And I would like to share with you three things that Moses did not do. And then we're going to look at three things that Joseph did do in this case. So number one, let's look at what Joseph did not do. Number one, he simply did not hold a grudge. Now, he had a reason for that, and we talk about that later, but simply, he did not hold a grudge. That was one of the first instruments that he used. And as the lesson continues, we find out exactly why. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 says the following. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. That was the instrument, the first instrument that Joseph used. And what does that mean? This means this. The emotions that Joseph had, the hard feelings that Joseph had, because likely we can say he did have them too. As we will sometimes have those feelings as well, when we have been treated unfairly, when we have been treated unrighteously. The first key that we need to understand, and I say this with a lot of respect, but please hear me. This life is not about us. This life is about God. And when we understand that this life is about God, then we also understand I can give my pain to God. And we will talk about that just in just a few moments more. But that is the key. We give things over to God. And we say, God, what is my task? My task is not to hold a grudge, but you love your neighbor as yourself. And then again, we see those four words. I am the Lord. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about His glory. It's about His honor. The real child of God, if I may say it in that way, the real child of God is not concerned about himself. He's concerned about God. He's concerned about God's glory. He's concerned about God's honor. That's first and foremost on his mind. And then what happens? Your pain will subside. Your anger will subside. God says, leave all of that stuff to me. As Joseph said here, am I in the place of God? Joseph said, it's not about me. It's about God. It's about his glory. It's about his honor. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, let all wrath, let all anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Brothers and sisters, this is probably the hardest for us to do, right? To realize it's not about me, but it's about God. And yet, there lies the treasure. There lies the path to freedom. There lies the path that makes you free. Because when you look at the life of Joseph, was he full of anger? Nope. Was he full of bitterness? Nope. He said, it's not about me, it's about God. Point number two, he did not only hold a grudge, he did not blame God whatsoever. He did not blame God. And we see that already when you look at our text in Genesis 50. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. He did not blame God. He saw that God was using all of these things to bring about something great, to bring about something wonderful. We look at the book of Job. We look at Job chapter 1, verse 8. It says in Job chapter 1, verse 8, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? The interesting thing when you look at this verse, or one of the interesting things when you look at this word, is the word when it says one who fears God and shuns evil. Do you know what the word shuns means when you go to the Hebrew? When you go to the Hebrew, the word shuns basically means to turn off. Have you ever been in your car and you turned off the radio? No more sound, right?
Silence.
Silence. Have you ever stopped your washing machine? What happened? Silence. Every time you turn something off, it means silence. That is what this word means in the Hebrew. He turned off evil. Even to the point that he did not blame God. Job might not have understood exactly what was going on. As a matter of fact, he questioned God. Why was happening what was happening? But at the same time, we also see, and you look at verse 20 through 22. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from the womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Verse 22. In all this, Job did not sin, nor charged God with wrong. We often say the word, Satan always tries to get his part. And of course, I say it with respect, when difficult things are happening in your life that are beyond your control. Have we ever blamed God? We don't have to answer, but you got the point, right? It is tough. It is hard. When times are hard, when times are difficult. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. And he just did not lose his car or his house. Or even his car and his house at the same time. We know the story, right? He lost even 10 of his children. His livelihood, his livestock. He lost everything. So much that his own wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" He did not blame God. Isn't that beautiful? Faith in God. True faith in God is your instrument that will always help you to understand, I will not blame God. For God is the personification of good and things that are holy and things that are right and things that are good. Psalms 23 tells us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. That's the instrument. And again, as we said in the beginning, with the right instruments, you can live this life. As Paul said, with the peace that surpasses the understanding, even when times are hard and tough and difficult. Point number three. Joseph did not in any way respond in an arrogant way. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Joseph, together with his God, was in charge of the situation. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Joseph, together with his Almighty God, was in charge of the situation. There was no pride. There was no arrogance. There was no perverse mouth. We read in Romans chapter 12. We know the words. But so important, even as it touches our own lives. And it shows that it is a problem of all days. The Apostle Paul wrote in chapter 12 of Romans, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those that weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. If for in so doing you heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Earlier this week, we looked at a video of the life of Christ based on the book of Matthew. And when you see those pictures of the book of Matthew played out, it even makes more of an impact on you. And then when you listen to the words of Christ, every time when he was speaking, and they almost read the whole Sermon on the Mount word by word, what Jesus told the people was basically, again, the world upside down. It was the world upside down. And here we see again in Romans chapter 12, it is the world upside down. But brothers and sisters, most of all, there is such an important lesson for each one of us here. It says, overcome evil with good. What are the instruments? The instruments again are that we realize this life is not about me. This life is about God. The instrument is that Joseph knew that there was something behind this, that there was something greater, as he of course learned in his life. The instruments are there, even when dealing with the most hardest things in life. And so again, when you read Ephesians chapter 4, we read again that beautiful passage in relation to brothers and sisters in the church. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. With all lowliness, there's your instrument. With all gentleness, there's the second one. With long suffering, number three. Bearing with one another in love, number four. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, number five. The instruments are there. God has given the instruments to us. What do we learn from this passage? We are living in a month in which we have a lot of celebrations. We are living in a month in which we go towards the end of the year. It is the month of the year that families come together. Brothers and sisters, what about the greatest gift that we can give one another? I remember when I was 18, I had a whole list of things that I wanted for my birthday. When I was 20, I had a whole list of things that I wanted for my birthday. Most of you know that I celebrated 2 weeks ago. I'm a little bit older than 18 now. And people say, what do you want? And I say, I don't know, just come to my birthday and that's it. You don't have to bring anything. But brothers and sisters, as we are in the month of giving gifts, can we make it a decision today that we are going to give the greatest gift to our brothers and our sisters? The gift of lowliness, the gift of gentleness, the gift of long-suffering, the gift of bearing with one another in love, the present of endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Melanie, last Wednesday, you mentioned it. When people become Christians, it should become visible, right? By the fruits, you will know the tree. It's true. Brothers and sisters, can we invite one another to share the greatest gifts with one another as we are moving into 25, as we are ending 24? Let's make that conscious decision to give one another these presents. Lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And again, I say it with respect, but what does this passage teach about the local church? It's not about you. It's about God. It's about His honor. It's about His glory. You should be a light in this world. Let's look at three things that Joseph did do in the process. Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45, verse 3 through 5. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. And he came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Brothers and sisters, what do we do when we give ourselves the present of lowliness? What do we do for one another when we give one another the presence of bearing with one another in love? What are we doing? We are preserving life. We are giving to one another that gives us freedom. We are giving to one another that gives us peace of mind. We are giving to one another. And that relates in all forms of life, at your work, not only in the church, in your merits. In so many forms of life, we can preserve life. As what happened in the days of Joseph. He said, God, send me before you to preserve life. And that is what the presents are doing. That is what, when we are filled with the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit?
Love.
Joy, happiness, all these things. And what does that do? When we really look at each one of them, it preserves life. What happens when we get angry with one another? Does that preserve life? It will bring hate. What happens when there is clamor? What happens when there is evil speaking? We don't preserve life. We take away what is called life. And that is why we as Christians follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He preserved life. He was willing to endure the difficulties of being a man. He was willing to forgo. He did what God wanted him to do. Because even Jesus realized, it's not about me. It's about God and His glory. And we know that because Jesus said in his prayer, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, if it is your will, then this must be done. Can we take that same mind? Father, if this is what needs to be done, you want me to spread gentleness? Okay. You want me to spread lowliness? Okay. You want me to spread bearing with one another in love? Okay. Can we take on that mind? then we can truly be the church. The church is of Christ. And I don't say that it is wrong. We have focused on the teaching. And I can only say I love it that we have focused on the teaching, because teaching is important. But you know what? Let it never be at the expense of the fruits of the Spirit. That is so important. The one cannot do without the other one. Fish cannot do without water. Your television cannot do without electricity. The right teaching cannot do without the right walking of life. And that is what we are talking about this morning, in probably the most difficult things of life, the evils that befall us. And they will. So what did Joseph do? Instrument number four, he trusted in God's providence. He said God used it to preserve life. Can we take on that same mind? Can we take on that same thought? Can we pray for that? God, give me that mind. Even when my emotions say, I want to go this way, if you want me to go that way, I'll go that way. If I need to spread lowliness, okay, God. Do I need to spread bearing with one another in love? Okay, God. My emotions say this, but I do, because he trusted that God was working behind the scenes. He knew that God had something in mind that was greater. The difficulty sometimes is that we do not always know what God has in mind. When did Joseph know what God had in mind? The text does not tell us fully. But I would even invite you for this week to read Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 50. It's about 13 chapters, tells you the whole story of Joseph. And find the pearls, find the diamonds that we need in our life. Reason number two, or instrument number five, Joseph believed again that God had a purpose. When did he know? I don't know. But Joseph knew God is working, God has a purpose with all of this. You might recall the words in the book of Esther. Mordecai came to his knees and said in Esther chapter 4, verse 14, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Mordecai said, I don't know, Esther, but maybe you are placed here for a very purpose. And we know she was placed there for a purpose. She went to the king. Ultimately, the Jews got freedom. The arch enemy was hanged. God can use you even today. God can use you where you are. You might say, well, I have few friends, I have few people that I come in contact with. God can use you where you are. And God can use you most effectively when you say, God, it's not about me, it's about you. That's where God can use you most effectively. Even when you don't know the reason, even you might never know the reason why something would happen in your life. Can we turn from our pain and see the hands of God? Can we turn from our pain and say, God, I don't know what you are doing, but I trust in you because I know that you are the source of good? The sixth instrument. And that is probably one of the keys for today's lesson. Genesis chapter 50. Where Joseph said again in verse 19, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Very important. Joseph said, brothers, vengeance is not mine. That's what Joseph said. That is what Joseph knew. That is what Joseph knew into the very fiber of his being. He knew it with every part of what he was. I am not in the place of God. We hear similar words when we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. It says this, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one repays, renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. A life-spreading fragrance, even when the times are unexplainable and difficult. The Apostle Paul wrote it again. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for both yourselves and for all. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it phrases it in another way and it uses the example of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says this, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. See that? Those two things. He did not commit sin, and in his mouth, no deceit was found in his mouth. Like in Joseph's case. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. When we look at the life of Christ, when we look at his death and his suffering, it was architected by God. What did Christ do? He bore our sins. He bore our guilt. And that is important in the life of Christians. To this you were called, because he also suffered for us, leaving us an example. There are more verses that helps us to understand that principle. But that is also one of the beautiful things about Christianity. The evils of life will one day be repaid, God says. So don't be afraid that evil will never be confronted. Evil will be confronted one day by God himself. But the difference is, God is the ultimate and the perfect judge. We can never be fully in our judgment, humanly speaking. The Bible calls us to judge, yes, and we should do that because the Bible says it. But at the same time, the ultimate judgment only belongs to one person, and that is God. And that is our instrument. That is one of the instruments that we have in this life. God is the judge. He will be the perfect judge because he knows everything. Conclusion. Again, we're in the time of December. Sharing gifts, family time, Let us use and let us give one another the greatest gift of life. And that is, render no one evil for evil. But rather, let's give place to God. He is the judge. As Joseph said, am I in the place of God? And most of all, remember, most people are fighting some battles that you do not know about. Most people are having some things in their life that are not easy. When people do evil, who is really the source of their evil? It is Satan.
Yes.
Not to make an excuse for the person, but who is really behind it? It is Satan. When we realize that Satan is behind all of those things, it's all the more reason to overcome evil with good and to glorify God, even in our pain, our hurt, and our sorrow. We can give it to God and experience the peace that surpasses the understanding. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand for this last.